David came in and I said, oh, you have the special music today? And he said, yeah, I got called to fill in. I just learned this song last night, so I'm going to try it. Can you imagine? Thanks for blessing us with that. That is awesome. Ron is preaching at Bee Ridge Christian Church today, where his brother is a pastor. So I'm going to be filling in this morning, obviously, and completing this series on what's your next step that we have been taking a look at. I do not personally know or have never met a guy by the name of George Phillips from Meridian, Mississippi. But I would like to. I'd like to talk to him, because the story goes that one evening as George was getting ready to go to bed, his wife said, hey, you left the light on in the barn out back. And as he went and looked out the back window, he just thought to himself, you know what, I wasn't out there. I didn't leave that light on. Somebody is in our barn. We're getting robbed. And so he called the emergency number, and the dispatcher answered the phone, and he said, hey, I'm getting robbed here at our house. There's somebody in our barn that we think's taking some things. And the dispatcher said, well, everybody is busy right now. We'll get somebody out there as soon as we can. So he hung up the phone, and he gave it about 30 seconds, and he called the emergency number back, and he said, hey, I'm the guy that just called about the robbery at my house. No need to come out. I just shot them all. And within 2 minutes, there were police cars and ambulance and fire trucks and everything there at his place, and they actually were able to catch the robbers. And after the evening was over, the police chief said, I thought you said when you called that there was somebody robbing you and that you needed somebody to come out to take care of it. And he said, yeah, and I thought you guys said that you were all busy. So, you know, I'd like to meet him, because he's got a pretty good way of thinking things through. But in that situation, those people that he needed were not available for him. Jesus, on the other hand, was remarkably available. Didn't matter who it was, didn't matter the circumstance, didn't matter where they came from. He was never too busy to stop and take care of what needed to be taken care of. Nobody was unimportant. He even said himself, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. And I think if we are going to really follow Jesus, like we've been talking about for quite some time now, how do we follow Jesus? How do we be more like Jesus? And in this series, what are the steps to do that? I think we need to think, I think we need to act, and I think we need to love more like Jesus. Now, I'm preparing this message for today, which is going to be the final message in this series, the message entitled Serve Others. I was going through the steps, and Ron has been going through these steps with us. This series was originally preached at the Hills Church by Rick Atchley himself, and these steps just amaze me as Ron has been walking through the steps and studying that and helping us to see in our lives. I hope you've been looking at it as, what exactly would be my next step? Because we've talked about things like worship regularly. Why do we do that? Because Jesus did. We've talked about how we can do a better job of connecting with God. Why? Because Jesus connected with God while he was here on this earth. We talked about living differently. How do we go about living our lives differently than what the world lives? What does that look like, and what does that mean for us? We talked about doing life together, and we've been able to, even during this series, experience those type of things like the Valentine's banquet, where we had over 70 people from our congregation and friends come together in fellowship, doing life together. And last week, Ron spoke about giving generously and what that means and why that's so important to do with the things that God has blessed us with. And so today we get to the point where we want to talk about serving others. And I believe that if you're going to follow Jesus, that you're going to have to live a radically different life, a humble life, because that's what Jesus did. First of all, know and understand this: saved people serve people. Now you got to get that order correct. Saved people serve people. Notice it doesn't say we serve people to get saved. It says saved people serve people. That's what they do. If we look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, that'll be our main text this morning if you do want to go there. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. It says, for it is by grace you've been saved. Get that? By grace. Nothing else. By grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's a gift from God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. You see, here's the deal. I'm completely saved, but God's still working on me. And I imagine that's the case with all of you in here today as well. I kind of look at it as I'm completely saved, but I'm still waiting to be saved completely. In a sense, because God has things for us to do. That's why when we're saved, we kind of have this job description. And one of the things, if we really want to be like Jesus, that is very clear in that job description is we need to figure out how we serve people. We need to figure out how to be a servant in this life that we're living. I want to try something with you here and see how this works, you know, so you kind of get an idea of what we're talking about. Take just a moment, and I want you to turn and really look, just for a few seconds, look at the person on your right. Turn to your right, kind of look at, give them a good look. Give them a good look. Okay, all right, that's good enough. Now, take a couple more seconds and turn and really look at that person on your left. Give them a good look. Okay, now you've looked to your right, you've looked to the left, and now I want you to turn and look to the person that you think needs it the most and say, you look like you still need some saving. Okay, not many of you turned when I said that at that point in time. You really didn't want to do that, but that's okay. But that's what happens. You see, our good works don't live out our salvation, but our good works help to fill out our salvation. Now, why do I say that? Well, let's look at the next verse. Let's look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. After God saved you by grace, God left you here for a big, have you ever thought about that? If there wasn't a purpose for us at that point in time, why when we get saved does God not just not beam us up? If that's the end of it and that's what we needed to do, you got saved, okay, you're gone. You're with him now, but that's not the way it works, is it? Because God has plans for us. God has things for us to do. There's a bigger purpose than for us just being down here and trying to avoid sinning. He has plans for us to be a servant. Living out your salvation is bigger than just the absence of badness. It's the presence of goodness. We're not saved by our service, but we are saved for service. Every follower, doesn't matter where you are, because sometimes we get, you know, well, I don't know that I've been called to be this missionary over, no, probably haven't been. Don't know that I've been called into full-time ministry like, you know, Ron and others have been. No, probably not. Don't know that I've been called. No, probably not. But this is what I want you to get this morning. Every follower of Jesus is a full-time servant in the kingdom of God. Every one of us is a full-time servant. Because servanthood is not for a special class of believers. Servanthood is for everyone. It's for everybody enrolled in the Follow Jesus class. That's what servanthood is for, who it's for. I mean, after all, the teacher that wrote the curriculum also lived it, right? He didn't just write the curriculum for us. He showed us how to do it by living out a life of service and being a servant. Go back to what he said. I didn't come to be served, but to serve. Let's look at Philippians 2, verses 5 through 7. It reads, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Think like that. Act like that. We're not disciples because we serve. We serve because we're disciples. So in your outline, the first point is this. Jesus emphasizes serving others. He puts a big emphasis on it. He talked a lot about servanthood. He talked a lot about serving others. He talked a lot about going out of our way to do that. He talked a lot about making our life about serving everyone that we come into contact with. Throughout the New Testament, Jesus spoke of serving others, but he also modeled it in everything he did. I love this school year, our theme at Columbus Christian School happens to be servanthood. So this topic and this message kind of hit home a little bit with me and being able to prepare for it. But our key verse comes from Mark chapter 10, kind of a little bit of 43 through 45. And it says this, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. That's what we need to do. We need to go out with a basin full of water and a towel and go out to try to find some dirty feet to wash. Because that's what Jesus did. At a men's retreat at the Hills Church, Rick Atchley had mentioned this at his church, but they were having a men's retreat, and the speaker at the retreat happened to be a guy by the name of Bob Goff. And he was talking about this very topic of serving and being of service to others and what that means in our Christian life. And he made this statement that Atchley said has stuck with him for the rest of the time. He said, Bob Goff said, stop calling it ministry and start calling it Tuesday. Do you get that? Monday, Friday, doesn't matter the day. But stop calling it ministry and just let it be who we are and what we do. 24/7, living to serve. He also told a story about Rick Warren. Now, I've had the opportunity to be able to meet Rick Warren. That was kind of neat for me, but I was able to go out to Saddleback Church in California and worship there one weekend. But this story is about Rick Warren and a guy named Dan Caffey. Does anybody know who Dan Caffey is? Yeah, he's the owner and the founder of Chick-fil-A. Now, I've never been able to meet Dan Caffey, but I tell you, I'd like to because I feel like I've really invested in a lot of his franchises and probably own something in his house, I would guess. So I would really like to meet him, but actually tells the story that Rick Warren and Dan Caffey were doing some kind of project together and they were working on it and it got to be late at night and Dan Caffey said he was hungry and they wanted to stop someplace to eat. So they pull into a Taco Bell, of all places, a competitor, right? And Rick Warren says, we went into the restroom, you know, to wash our hands, get ready to go eat or whatever. And Dan Caffey all of a sudden starts pulling out paper towels and starts cleaning the sink. The sink was dirty. And Rick Warren said, what are you doing in a Taco Bell and you're cleaning the sink? And he said, we teach all of our employees to leave every place they go better than the way it was when they got there. You see what that was? That was his life. That's who he was. That's what he taught. I've heard it said in, if you work at Disney, that there's a Disney way that they teach you at Disney. Now, whether everything about Disney's right or wrong, that's a whole nother debate. But if you go through the training, if you go through the induction to be an employee at Disney, they teach you, they call it the Disney way. And you know what they teach all of them? Wherever you are walking on that property, you're supposed to constantly be looking up and down, left and right, up and down, left and right, up and down, left and right. You can still wave and talk to people and looking around. And the reason they do that, they say, if you see anything out of place or you see any paper or anything anywhere, it's your responsibility as you're looking all around to get it picked up, cleaned up, put back in place, put back in order or whatever. And those of you who have visited those massive parks, it's amazing at how clean they keep them and how efficient things operate and how orderly everything is. Why? Because it's the Disney way. It's the way they do things. And we as Christians need to develop our discipleship way, our servanthood, what needs to become, this is who we are. It's just what we do. Jesus tells a parable in Matthew 14, a parable that we all know, but he tells a parable about that we know is feeding the 5,000, right? And we know that he took the two fish and the five loaves of bread and he prepared it for the thousands of people. And when it came time to serve it, he told the disciples, now go out and serve the people. He had prepared it. It was ready. Now go serve them. Next story after that, he sends them out, the disciples out in a boat, and the night's long and the storm and all that, and he starts walking out to them and they're scared. And Peter says, Lord, if it's you, let me come out to you. And Jesus tells him, come, walk on water, Peter. Come on out and walk on water. And what happened? Peter walked on water. You see, because anything Jesus asks you to do, he will give you the power to do it. He'll supply your needs. All he wants us to do sometimes is show up. Sometimes I think he says, just show up. Just be available to be a servant. You know what? When you serve others, there's really no rebuttal to it, is there? I mean, you can get in conversations with people and they can want to debate your viewpoints. They can want to debate our Christianity. They can want to debate me about what I know is truth in the Bible. They see it differently. They might want to debate that. You can argue all of my claims about truth all you want, but there is no rebuttal to a basin and a towel and washed feet. What are they going to say? Because you can't debate servanthood. So number two on your outline is this. Jesus embraces serving others. He not only emphasizes it, he embraces it. You know, Satan tries to get us to think of ourselves so many times. Isn't it amazing that how even in doing service, Satan can try to make his way in and make it about us? He even tries to get involved when we're serving other people so that we become selfish and think about ourselves when we're serving others. This reminded me of one of our school mission trips. And we went down to the Appalachian area down at Big Creek Missions. And one of the things some of our kids were doing is they were serving at a kitchen, you know, homeless people, needy people coming in for a meal on a given evening. And we had some kids that went to do the serving. And every night, whatever their jobs were, where they were in the schools or doing building projects or serving in the kitchen or at the coffee shop, we would always get together and we would debrief what had happened that day and, you know, their thoughts and people they'd come into contact with and so forth. And we were debriefing that night. And those that were at that meal and were doing the serving, basically in a nutshell, when we asked them about it, they said they didn't like it. Like, really? And in a little bit more discussion with them, we found out that the reason they didn't like it when we asked why is, you know what they said? Well, they didn't thank us. I want you to think about that for a second. Because here are a bunch of homeless people who are down on their luck, needy people, they don't have much, and here they come walking in to be fed. First of all, they know that they have to go because they're hungry and they need this meal, and they walk in, and here are all these teenagers with their fancy clothes on and their designer jeans and probably on their smartphone at the time, and they put the smartphone down long enough to pull out something to dip a scoop of potatoes or beans or something on their plate. And you know what we told those young people? It's like, now think about that. What do you want them to say to you? You know, they're uncomfortable at even coming up with that conversation or that decision or knowing what to even start that conversation to be. But Satan was trying to work in the middle of all of that stuff. And Satan does that. And you've been in other things, in other situations. And I know even there have been times, like even this year, this made me just think of myself. And even this year during this basketball season, which has been a struggle, I got to tell you. It's been a blast. It's been fun. I've met new people. I've been able to share Christ with people. God has opened doors. But in the middle of a basketball season when you're not winning and you're trying to leave Columbus to get to Westport and you're traveling and then you're going back home and then there's a meeting back in Columbus, I got to tell you there's times when I've got those young guys in front of me and I'm saying, you know, really? Is this all we can get out of you? I've got other things to do, you know. This isn't the only thing in my life. I didn't just stop everything to come and work with you guys so that this is the effort that I get. Do you see what's happening? You see how Satan is trying to work in? When we do something and serve someone and Satan's wanting us to say, you ought to be thankful for me. You know, I'm volunteering my time here. I don't have to be here. I could be doing some other things. The least you could do is let me know how awesome I am, right? Get away from me, Satan. Because is that how Jesus served? No. Serving needs to be who we are, not what we do. Simply needs to be who we are. And our service should be an act of worship that glorifies God. What Jesus notices is service that doesn't need to get noticed. Let's look at Matthew 25, verses 37 to 40. Another familiar passage. It says, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. You see, the people who serve the best don't think about what they're doing. Because what they're doing is just who they are. It's just what they do. And we have a lot of those people here at East Columbus Christian Church. I got to tell you, we have people that go out of their way to do this in a variety of ways. We have people who take their time during the week to drop everything and come into the office and help the ladies in the office, help our teachers, whether it's a church thing that needs done or a school thing that needs done. They come in and help out and do some things. We have people who have given up vacation time to go out on different mission trips. We have people who go to Hilltop and work as counselors and work with young people at Hilltop Camp. We have people that come in and work at the Welcome Center. We have people who make food for our funeral meals. We have people who spend time in the nursery. And I got to tell you, if you think that at the end of spending time with those little ones in the nursery, those little ones are going to say, oh, by the way, thank you for helping today. It's just not going to happen. But we have people who do so many things in so many different ways. I mean, everything from major things that the elders and leadership and women here in the church work on, all the way to the little things. How do you think those ink pens get in those holes in those pews every week? How do you think those things get refilled? There's things that we can do all the time. So my question for you today is, will you be the hands and feet of Jesus? 2 Corinthians 4:5 says this, "For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." Maybe, just maybe, this will be your next step in following Jesus. If it is, and it's something that you want to get involved in, get a hold of me. You know, my official title is Minister of Assimilation. Yeah, no, I didn't know what it meant either. It means Minister of Involvement. So if you have something that you want to get involved in here, give me a call. Let's sit down and talk and figure out how you can get plugged in. But maybe, just maybe, this is your next step in following Jesus. Because I know in following him, this is what we need to do in order to become a servant. We need to put the low and follow. And we can do that in a variety of ways. You can do that as young people by serving others in your school. You can do it if you're still working by serving in your workplace. You can do it by serving people in your family, your neighbors, your friends. There's all kinds of ways. And again, even here at church. But I want to show you a quick video, a YouTube video that's called Johnny the Bagger. You might have seen it before, but it's just pretty neat and pretty special of a young man with Down syndrome and how he found his way that he could be a servant and help people out. Josh, would you show the video?
I was asked 5 years ago to speak to 3,000 employees of a large grocery store chain, and they brought everybody. After I'd spoken, I always give my home phone number to every audience. I had a young man who called me, and he told me his name was Johnny, that he was a bagger in one of the stores, and he was a person of Down syndrome. He said, "Barbara, I liked what you said." And he said he went home that night and he asked his dad to help him with the computer. And he said, we set the computer up into three columns. And he said from that night on, every night that he goes home, he finds a thought for the day. And he said, "If I can't find one I like, I think one up." Then he and his dad type it six times on a page. He prints out 50 pages every single night, cuts them out, signs his name on the back, and the next day, for every person's groceries he bags, he puts a thought for the day in the bag. Now, about a month later, the store manager called me. He said, "Barbara, I want to tell you what happened this morning." He said, "When I went out on the floor about 9:30 this morning, the line at Johnny's checkout was three times longer than any other line." He said, "I went ballistic. I was yelling, 'Get more people out there, get more lanes open.'" And he said, "The customer said, 'No, no, we want to be in Johnny's lane. We want the thought for the day.'" So who do you think is the most important person in that whole store? He said, "One woman came up and said, 'I only used to shop once a week, but now I come in every time I go by because I want the thought for the day.'" He said, 3 months later, the store manager called me back again, and he said, "Barbara, you and Johnny have transformed our store." He said, "Now in the floral department, when they have a broken off flower or an unused corsage, we used to just throw them away. He said, now they go out on the floor and they find an elderly woman or a little girl, and they pin it on them. He said, one of our meat packers loves Snoopy, so we ordered 50,000 Snoopy stickers, and every time he packages a piece of meat, his meat gets a Snoopy sticker on it." Now, I said, "I don't know about dog stickers on meat." But he said, "We are having so much fun, and our customers are having so much fun." And folks, that's a true leader. And if he can do it, there is no reason why every one of us in this room and out there in our audiences can't do it. Thank you. God bless.
I want you to think about what you can do. And I want, you know, at first I thought, let's have a sign up. We do that all the time, don't we? We have a sign up sheet, okay, to do this or that. But that goes completely against what we've just been talking about and why we serve. But this is what I want you to think about. I want you to think about if you come in on Sunday morning and you're here, let's just say it's an hour, probably more than that. If you come to Sunday school, it's a couple or whatever. But I want you to put this thought in your mind. Come one, serve one. If I come for an hour, I'm going to serve for an hour. If I come for a couple, I might serve for a couple. And let that be a starting point for all of us for a new campaign. Because truth is, words still matter. You can't preach the gospel without words. But you can't witness to the gospel with only words. You got to have some service. You got to be a servant. You have to serve others. General William Booth was once asked, as he was getting older in age, he's the founder of the Salvation Army, by the way, but as he was getting older, he was asked to come speak at a convention, and he had accepted that, but as time got closer to it, he was not feeling well, and actually was getting pretty feeble and weak, and he got a hold of him and said, I'm not going to be able to come and attend the convention and speak at the convention. So they asked him, would you please just send us a message? And he said, absolutely, I can do that. So he sent them a message, and his message was one word. And the word was others. Others. That's a pretty good word, isn't it? And just maybe it's your next step. So we get ready to sing our hymn of invitation. I'll ask you to stand as we get ready to sing. But also, if there's anyone out there this morning that doesn't even know this Jesus that has been the model of servanthood and so graciously went to the cross so that we have our salvation. If you don't know him this morning and we'd like to, I'd love to be able to share that with you and talk to you about how you can have him as your Lord and Savior. But if you're just here and you've done that and you've just been kind of going through the motions, and you know this morning that in your heart it's your desire that you want to be more of a servant for Christ and you want to serve those around you, and you want to pray about it, I'd love to pray for you for that as well. Maybe you just want to do that right there in your pew. That's fine. We have a prayer room. You can come afterwards. But if you're just seeking for what the Holy Spirit wants you to do in that area of your life, pray about that this morning. But remember, don't just pray about it. Show up and be of service to the Lord. Maybe you're here and you're looking for a church home. If that's the case, we'd love to have you as part of our family as well. You know, when we're talking about what we're talking about, when we are saved and we come into the family of God, calls us a family, right? And refers to us as the body of Christ. Now just think about that for a second. Why are we compared to the body of Christ? It's because parts of the body, all the parts have a function. Everybody has a function. I don't know about you, but I don't want one part of my body to not be functioning, right? And same with Jesus. When we become part of the body, he wants us to act out our function as well. So if you're looking for that kind of a church home tonight to be a member of and be a part of, we would welcome you to come up and join church here this morning as well as we sing our hymn of invitation.